great. And most people at least talk about how God loves them, yet they often will tell you about nasty things God will do to you, so I'm not sure they really believe God loves them. But at least they talk about it. And there are other things in Christianity that people agree on, other things that sort of mainstream Christianity has right, other things mainstream Christianity seems to ignore the Bible altogether and just go with tradition. But the manifestations of Holy Spirit is something you just don't hear very much about in most Christian circles. At least I never did. And if you do hear about it, about all you usually hear is about speaking in tongues. And even there, a lot of groups' understanding of speaking in tongues is rather odd. You know, they will tell you everybody should speak in tongues at once. And the scriptures are very clear that when we have manifestations of Holy Spirit, they should be done decently and in order with one person speaking at a time. It's very clearly written in 1 Corinthians 14. So this is a field that is not well known, is not well understood. And we have had the great blessing and benefit of being able to learn a lot. Those that have gone before us have studied this, have taught this, have lived about these manifestations. And we've benefited from what they've shown us from God's Word and what they've shown us practically. Jesus Christ, you may recall, spoke very pointedly to the Pharisees and the other religious leaders of his times, saying that they erred. They were in error because they didn't know the Scriptures or the power of God. We endeavor to know both. We endeavor to study the Scriptures, to see what they say, and then to operate the power of God. Some groups will do one or the other. If you just studied the Scriptures, it would be possible to get very academic and very dry and have no life, no results. It would just be an academic exercise, you know, like, you know, having Shakespeare memorized or being able to quote Aristotle or being able to memorize a pile of chemical elements or mathematical formulas. Could be very interesting mental exercise, but might have no power. On the other hand, if we only talked about experiences and operating the power of God without the Scriptures, it would be very easy to be tricked and to operate them inaccurately. And that's where the devil often comes in and fools people. If they don't have the Bible as sort of an anchor to keep their manifestations, the operational manifestations, accurate, they can get way out of line. So we try very, very hard to know what the Scriptures say and then to operate the manifestations on a daily basis. And that's why we have this class. That's why we had our class in the fall about the worship manifestations of speaking in tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. And that's why we're having this class, to talk about the other six, the revelation and impartation manifestations. And obviously, a class like this, we can't read everything in the Bible about it. We can read a lot. Some of the major, clearest scriptures on the topic, but there's always more to learn. And then the other thing about a class like this is, we can't give you 20 years of experience in your life here. We can show you some things, and then you go out from there and live it. Sort of like in a chemistry class. They'll sit in class and they'll teach you the theory, but then they send you in the lab and make you pour things in beakers so they fizz and hopefully don't blow up. That's what our friend Joe Kaiser does. He works with the freshman chemistry labs at the University of Pennsylvania. There's the sort of the doctrinal and the practical. Well, this couple of days will mostly be the doctrinal. We may practice a little bit, but we're primarily going to be learning what the Word says. And then afterwards, we have the joy of going and living it. And the more we live it, and the more we operate the manifestations in our lives, the more we grow, the more proficient we get. Think of yourselves if you've never played tennis, and you went somewhere and somebody gave you some lessons over a weekend, showed you how to hold the racket, how to serve the ball, when to run up to the net and when to go back, and a little strategy about how to keep your opponent running around. You'd learn that they'd show you in sort of in theory how to do it, but you'd have to go play a lot of games of tennis to get to where you could actually do what the coach said. You see, I had those two lessons years ago in high school. I never quite did all the practice. so I'm not much of a tennis player. But we all have things where we were taught and some things we stuck with and really worked at and got good at. Other things we just, you know, that 1 week of high school gym where they showed us how to play tennis never really stuck with me because I didn't use it very much. Well, my goal this weekend is for us to learn what the scriptures say about these manifestations and then have the joy of going out and practicing them in our lives and growing. And that's why, although we had this class last year, we're doing it again this year. And we might do it again next year. Because we need to keep learning what the scriptures say, then we need to keep practicing. We need to come back and look at the word again and say, now is this working or is there something I'm missing? And then as you do it, you grow. Sort of like you do if you were doing a sport. The coach would show you stuff, send you out to do drills and practice, then come back and say, that's pretty good, but, you know, fix this one little thing and go try it again. That's what we're endeavoring to do here. So it's a joy to have you all. It's a joy to have those of you here in the room and a joy to have our friends from around the country that have joined us on the phone. So thank God for that. Well, after that brief introduction, we better get into God's Word. Sometimes my introduction is longer than the teaching, but I'll try to stick to my notes. So you have the same notes I have as usual. So if I skip a page or something, let me know. And Doug Seed, who has kindly joined us from Northern California, will be here and we'll be taking turns teaching the sessions. And as I said, we will give you coffee breaks and even a lunch break. So we won't be too mean to you. So here we go. In session one, the written word and the Spirit of God. These are verses probably familiar to you, but it's good to look at them. It's good to get the foundation right here. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And this prophecy is talking about what prophets received by revelation, which could be either foretelling or forthtelling. Many times we hear the word prophecy and think of foretelling the future. And there are many prophecies in the Old Testament where God will speak to a prophet and tell them what's going to happen in the future. And that's what we call foretelling. But the majority of the prophecy in the Old Testament is forthtelling, simply speaking forth what God wants said. You know, he just says things. This is what's going on. This is what you should do. This is what I want you to do. This is what I'm going to do. It's forthtelling. You see both. But the point is, it didn't come by the will of man. People didn't sit down and decide to write this. And it's interesting. If you spend any time around theological schools, a lot of Bible colleges, most theological seminaries, they don't take, at least the ones I spent, and I did study at some of these places and read a lot of books written by people there, they don't take the attitude that the Bible's the Word of God. They say that it did come by the will of man. That people wrote down, and the people that wrote the books of the Bible were basically editors, just like or journalists. If if the courthouse burns down, you know, the local paper sends a reporter down and goes through the crowd and interviews the people that saw it burning down and said, "What did you see?" Well, the guy on the north side of the courthouse saw the tower fall over. The guy on the south side of the courthouse saw the dumpster blow up. The guy on the east side of the courthouse saw the judge's car have melting tires. You know, they saw different sides of the same fire. And then the journalist takes all these things and weaves together a story. And that is the typical view. I mean, there's fancy theological words for it, but that is the typical view in many, many churches, many, many seminaries, many, many Bible colleges. Is that the Bible didn't come by the will of man, it didn't come by the will of God, it came by the will of man. And that's why they will say the Bible, they won't say the Bible is the Word of God, they will say the Bible contains the Word of God. Because there are certain sayings in the Bible that these journalist-type people or these editors did pick up that really are the Word of God. But then there's a lot of other things that were just the spin or the elaboration the editor or journalist put on it. But then they have a big argument about, okay, which parts are really the Word of God? There's even a group, I don't know if they still meet, but they used to meet called the Jesus Committee. And they would meet every year and vote on which verses in the Gospels really were spoken by Jesus Christ and which were later added by these editors. And they'd have an election, they'd vote, you know. It's like a popularity poll. I like this verse, that must be the Word of God. This one doesn't agree with my theology, so it must have been added by Mark. It was just his theology. And they talk about the Johannine, you know, John's theology versus Paul's theology. Because they don't believe it's the Word of God. Which is why when you look at these reference books, there's a lot of good historical information in them. There's a lot of good things about what different Greek words may mean. But there's also a lot of, basically, BS. Because they don't accept that the Bible's the Word of God. And so, it's interesting. But it says here, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were, what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. God showed them what to write. It elaborates on it in Galatians. Here in Galatians, it elaborates on it. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11. Galatians 1:11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man, or not according to man. See, if it were according to man, it would be what people think. It would be, then you could call it Pauline theology, because it was Paul's theology. It was his views. It was his thoughts about God. But he says it's not according to man, verse 11. Verse 12, for I neither received it of man. So nobody came and said, Paul, this is the proper way to look at theology. Neither was I taught it. He didn't hear it from a person, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation which he received because he had Christ in him and he could receive revelation. That's where it came from. It came by revelation. God revealed it to him by way of Holy Spirit. So that's how the written word got here. Revelation. Look at Numbers 11. Now we know that prior to the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, when the Christian church began, people weren't born again. But many people had spirit upon them. Many people had spirit upon them. See, Adam and Eve had spirit. When they disobeyed God, they lost the spirit. That's one extreme, when they had spirit. And then the other is today, when anybody who gets born again can have spirit born within. And in between all those years, from Adam and Eve up to the day of Pentecost, God would put spirit upon certain people. It wouldn't be born within, as we have. It was upon people. The phrase is also used many times in the Old Testament that God was with somebody. And as far as I can tell, that's used synonymously with saying the Spirit was upon them. They had the Spirit upon them, but it was there temporarily on a condition. They continued to walk with God. They kept it. If they walked away from God, they lost it. See, there's a difference there. I have, this pen is mine. I own it. If I quit working where I do now, I could take this with me. My phone, however, belongs to the company I work for. If I left that job, they would want the phone back. They get really mad if I didn't give it to them. It's a phone they put upon me. They gave it to me. It's a condition of working there. I quit working there, they want the phone back. And probably even the charger. And that little case in my belt that I never use. They might want that back too. I don't know. But they definitely want the phone and the charger. My pen, I get to keep. My ears I get to keep. They're part of me. They don't take them back. Well, in the time of Moses, the Holy Spirit was like getting a phone from a company. It went with the job. If God gave you a job to do, he gave you the Spirit upon you. You walked away from God and quit serving him and obeying him, he'd take it back. That's the way the Spirit was. But then on the day of Pentecost, it got born within. And that's what we have today. So today, you have it. You walk with God and love God, you have your Holy Spirit. You forget about God, decide you don't want to believe God, you want to go worship a tin can somewhere out in the desert, you still have the Holy Spirit. It doesn't get taken back. It's still yours. Numbers 11, verse 17. And I will come down and talk with thee there. This is God talking to Moses towards the end of his life. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them. And they shall... Oh, no, this is actually not towards the end of his ministry. This is when his father-in-law talks him into... I think that's it. At any rate, there's a point where he gets some other people to help him in leading God's people. And God says he'll put the Spirit on them too. Verse 17, I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. So the Spirit is going to go upon all these people, not a huge number, but a larger group. So Moses isn't the only one who can talk to God. So when people come and ask him with their problems, what's going on, Moses was the only one with the connection to God, so he was getting overworked. So the Spirit of God was put on more people so they could ask God and help the people. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. See, it all comes down to having the Spirit of God. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. And Joshua, he's the one that was sort of Moses' assistant and then led God's people after Moses died. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the Spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened or listened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So Moses had the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was put on other leaders in Israel. And then the Spirit of God was also on Joshua, so he could continue to lead after Moses died. So it's really important that we know that the written word of God we have, and it came by the Spirit of God. See, there's two ways you get information, either by your own five senses or by the Spirit of God. A scientist can look at things, can hear, can touch, can taste, can smell, and we get a lot of information that way. God gave us those five senses. But then there's spiritual information, which we don't get by our five senses, we receive by the Spirit of God. And that's what we're going to be learning about this weekend. Great things you can do with your five senses. But the information we get from the Spirit of God is even more reliable, because we all know the five senses can fool us. You can think you smell something or taste something, and it's really something different. You can think you hear something, and it's really something different. We've all had this happen to us. But that's not the case with the Spirit of God. When we get information from God, it is completely reliable. So let's change gears and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and learn about the manifestations of the Spirit we have today. And this is a review of information you'll find in other classes we have that are on our website and that are in many books and many other classes many of you may have had. This isn't secret. We've all been taught this for years by many wonderful people. 1 Corinthians 12 deals with the manifestations of Holy Spirit we have today. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. But the manifestation, the evidence of the Spirit, is given to every man to profit withal, or for profit. These manifestations are given to everybody for profit. Some people think the manifestations have no value. Some people think the manifestations no longer apply today. They were for olden times and other periods in biblical history. Well, that's not what the Word says. It says it's given to us for profit, for benefit, for good use in our lives. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for profit. For to one, and a better way to translate this would be to for one. For one what? Well, go back to verse 7, for profit. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for profit, for one type of profit or benefit is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. And you see, there is one type of benefit to word of wisdom. A good analogy for understanding the manifestations is your automobile. You have one battery that powers every electrical system in your car. And there's different profits or benefits to each one. If you want to drive somewhere, the starter is a great thing. It starts the car. That's very helpful. If it's dark, the lights are very good. If you want to let somebody know you're behind them and they don't see you, the horn is great. I was in India 2 weeks ago. They don't really use mirrors or turn signals, but they honk a lot. See, in our system, the horn is sort of the exception. You can drive all day and not hear anybody honk a horn. There, you can drive for a good half a second before you hear a horn. Because they got these little cars, and if it's a three-lane street going through downtown Delhi, they get five or six cars in there. And they're narrow little old Morrises to the cabs. And none of them, only a few new cars have mirrors on the sides. They don't have mirrors. I'd sit there watching a cab driver. He'd drive for miles, never look in the mirror, never turn his head. But he'd honk. He'd see a spot, and he would just go into it, and he'd honk. And that's how everybody knew he was coming. So the other cab drivers knew he was going to go there. So there was a profit to it, a benefit that we don't use. So different things have different benefits in your car. You know, the windshield wipers are great, but if it's a dry, sunny day, you don't really need the windshield wiper. But if it's raining, you need it. If your rear window is fogged up, you need that rear defrost thing. There's benefit to each of these electrical systems in your car, and they're all powered by one battery. Well, we have one gift of the Holy Spirit that powers all nine manifestations, and there's benefits to each one. So here we go. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for profit. For one type of profit, verse 8, is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. For another prophet, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. For another prophet, faith or believing by the same Spirit. For another prophet, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. For another prophet, the working of miracles. For another prophet, prophecy. For another, discerning of spirits. For another, diverse kinds of tongues. For another, the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh or are energized by the one and the self-same Spirit, dividing or distributing to every man his own as he wills. That's an interesting verse. A better translation would be the one and the self-same Spirit energizes all of these manifestations, distributing to every man his own as he, the man, wills. You see, each of us wills how much we're going to operate the manifestations. Just like if you took those three tennis lessons like I did in high school gym class, it's now up to my will. Am I going to really, really work that and become a great tennis player or play once every 10 years, which is about what I do, which tells you how good a tennis player I am. It's up to everybody. It's up to the same with our the manifestations. We learn, and then it's a matter of how much we determine to operate them. And the more we operate them, the more proficient we get at them, the more comfortable, the more confident we get at them. It's up to us, which is great. The more we choose to operate them, the better we'll be. And you'll find in your life that different people will simply be better at different manifestations. Some people are just awesome at speaking in tongues. They just pray for everybody. And they're always speaking in tongues. They're always very peaceful. They always have their mind on God. When they hear about somebody having a problem or having a need, they just go right at it. They're prayer warriors. And they're just superb. Other people you'll find are just amazing at interpretation and prophecy. You know, I've been in fellowships where there's a certain person or two, boy, they stand up and have a word of prophecy and you're just knocked out. It's like, wow! Just because they somehow believe and operate and they're just really good at it. You know, other people are really good at listening to God. They seem to be tapped in and peaceful and they've sort of got their mind in control so they're not all panicked and like mental pinballs machines. And they always listen to God, so they always seem to have the right direction in life. Other people will be great at operating manifestations of gifts of healings. Sometimes you'll be in a fellowship and go talk to her, because she just is the person that really is good at that, because she's worked it, she's thought about it, and that's the person to go to. So it's as every man wills, as every man determines. If I decide I'm going to be good at tennis, well, I probably wouldn't be in Wimbledon, but I'd be a whole lot better than I am now. But I never made that decision, so I'm not. But these manifestations, every one of us decides to what extent we really want to operate them. And to the extent we do, and make up our mind, and ask God to show us, and work the word, and operate them, we get better at them. So, divided to every man his own as he that person wills. Let's look at Acts chapter 3. Oh, before we do that, let me talk about this here. I skipped over this list right in the middle of the bottom there. You see, by their very nature, these nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit fall into three groups. The first is called the utterance manifestations. That's just what we call them. It doesn't call them that in the scriptures. It's a term we've given them. They fall into these three groups. The utterance manifestations. And they're called utterance because they're spoken. We also call them worship manifestations because we use them in a worship service where we worship God and we pray. Speaking in tongues, which, as you know, is for your private prayer life. When I was a kid, we had these Wonder Bread commercials. You know, Wonder Bread builds strong bodies 12 ways. Well, which some nutritionists would debate, but we're not here to talk about that. But we used to say speaking in tongues builds strong Christians 12 ways because it edifies you, you know, builds you up spiritually. It's perfect prayer by the will of God. It witnesses that you're a child of God. It gives thanks well. It speaks the wonderful works of God. Speaking in tongues is wonderful for your private prayer life. And then when it is interpreted, which is not just me giving my opinion about what is said, but me speaking in the language of the people present, the gist of what I just spoke in tongues, that is for the body of believers. And that will build them up by way of encouraging and comforting them. And then a word of prophecy does the same thing. The difference is you don't speak in tongues first. So these are the utterance or worship manifestations. Then the next group, which we'll start on in today, is what we call the revelation manifestations, where it's where God reveals information to us that you can't know by your five senses. Some things you can know by your five senses. You know, you want to know what the weather is. We got a cool little gadget on the side of the refrigerator that, you know, gets information from the satellite and the weather service and tells you what the temperature is going to be today. Or you can pop on your smartphone or Google it or turn on the weather channel. There's all kinds of ways you can find out what the weather report's going to be. And you can, a lot of ways you can tell the temperature outside. You can look at the little beeper there. You can look at the thermometer in the window. Or lots of our cars have thermometers built in. There's plenty of ways. Or you can just walk outside and see if you're cold or not. There's a lot of ways to know what the temperature is by your five senses. But there are a lot of things you can't know by your five senses. Well, that's where revelation comes in. God knows things that we don't, and he can tell us. And word of knowledge is where God gives us information about a situation that we wouldn't know. Word of wisdom is where he gives us the wisdom to whether or not we should act on it or not. It's one thing for me to know a certain person has something going on in their lives. That's word of knowledge. God might want to tell me so I know this person has this issue in their life or this need or this concern. It's another thing if I'm going to do anything about it. Maybe God's just telling me so I know and I can understand that person better. Maybe he's telling me so I can pray for them. But then he might give me a word of wisdom. He might say, because this is happening, go do this. Go operate this manifestation. Go pray for them. Go minister to them. Go give them something. They have this need, give them one of these. That would be word of wisdom, where God tells me not just information, but the wisdom of what to do about it. And then discerning of spirits is where you can discern or be aware of if a person has spirit. Could be Holy Spirit, could be unholy spirit. And then should I do anything about it? Sometimes God may tell you this person is born again or this person has a devil spirit and then may not tell you to do anything about it. Just you should know that that person has a devil spirit, so be careful what they say. Could be that person has a devil spirit, cast it out. That would all be discerning of spirits. And then the next step is the impartation or power or action manifestations where we take the Holy Spirit and we impart deliverance to people. Faith or believing. Now, I know we can all have renewed mind believing by disbelieving God's word, but when we believe revelation given, it's sort of a little bit, the Doug will teach much more about this later in the weekend, but it's a little bit like supercharged believing because I'm believing the revelation given to me. It's beyond simply my renewed mind believing. It's energized by the Spirit of God. Working of miracles, it's when you do something that's impossible in the senses realm. You see, there are things that are possible in the senses realm. There are things that can't be done. I often think of airplanes. This is sort of a different analogy. But generally, you know, airplanes are heavy. Hundreds of tons of metal. You wouldn't normally think something that's hundreds of tons of metal could just rise up in the air. But because of the physics of how an airfoil works and how it builds lift through some complicated aerodynamics that I really don't want to bore you with. Besides, I couldn't explain it anyway. But it has laws of aerodynamics that overcome the law of gravity. They don't break the law of gravity. It just has more power than the law of gravity because of the power of the jet engines and the way the airfoil is shaped that it generates lift. And therefore, it doesn't break the law of gravity, it overcomes it with a greater law. Well, the manifestation of workings of miracles is much greater even than that. It doesn't break the physical laws, it's just that the Spirit of God and the power of God is greater than the laws in the physical world. So what would be impossible in the senses world, with all the science and all the brains and all the abilities in the world, what would be impossible, God can still do, because it's a greater power. The manifestation of workings of miracles and gifts of healings speaks for itself. It brings healing to the human body, or can bring, It brings healings. And sometimes it's an instantaneous healing. Sometimes it's where the cause, the problem is removed, and the body naturally heals itself. I mean, think of yourself. You got a thorn in your hand. That hurts. The biggest thing is get the thorn out. Now, once you get the thorn out, as long as you keep that clean and it doesn't get infected, it will just heal itself up. It may take a week or 2 weeks, but it will heal itself up. Well, gifts of healings, sometimes it's an instantaneous miracle of healing. Sometimes it's by the Spirit of God, whatever the cause of that illness or hurt is removed. And then over a period of weeks, the body will just heal itself. It will vary. And there will be other things involved in healings. But that's that manifestation. So this is just a brief introduction to these manifestations. Again, there is much in things on our website, things in books you have available, if you want to review the background of the manifestations. I just summarized it today. But the rest of the class, we will get specifically into the revelation and impartation manifestations. So we're going to, in a moment, take a 15-minute break. We'll come back about 10 after 10. 10:10, that's great. John 10:10, more abundant life. Great time to start. We'll have some snacks and coffee. We'll stop back about 10:10, and after the break, Doug Seed will come up, and teach session 2. So God bless you.